Month on the afternoon programme, we welcome our team of legal eagles, Gary Rycroft, partner at Joseph A. Jones in Lancaster, and Rachel Horman, solicitor and director, head of domestic violence and forced marriage at Watson Ramsbottom Limited Blackburn, into the studios to discuss issues affecting us where the law is concerned, and also to highlight some of the issues which can be brought to public attention through high-profile cases and new legislation. As you may have heard in the news already, it's National Stalking Awareness Day today. Each year, the day has a theme. This year, it's Working Without Fear, and aims to raise awareness of workplace stalking, which can range from monitoring behaviour and computer hacking to the extremes of physical assault and criminal damage. I'm pleased to say, to tell us more, Gary Rycroft and Rachel Horman, welcome along. Rachel, to you first. I mean, National Stalking Awareness Day today. How long's this been going?
It's been going on for about 3 years. We came into the studio, if you remember, last year to talk about it, and the theme at the time was know the law, use the law. That was to reflect a very recent change in the law, which made stalking a criminal offence. That's been a criminal offence now since November 2012. So that was the theme last year. And this year they've chose to focus on stalking at work. And it's something that perhaps we don't think about, but does happen quite often, where people are being stalked.
So Working Without Fear is this year's themes. So what's the aim of that then this year?
It's to raise awareness of the issue, to hopefully encourage employers to develop policies to deal with this issue, and for victims to know where to go to for help. There was a survey undertaken in the last few weeks by the National Stalking Advocacy Service, Paladin, and from that survey it became clear that almost 90% of employers do not have any policy relating to stalking at all. And stalkers do turn up at a victim's workplace in almost 80% of cases where the stalker is a man. They will turn up at the victim's place of work. That then results in the employee often leaving or reducing their hours, going off sick, that kind of thing. And it also makes them very vulnerable, because that's apart from your home, that's the one other place where somebody can guess where you're going to be. They'll know what time you're going to turn up. So it does really make you very much at risk. And I'm sure everyone remembers the case of Jane Clough, very locally. She was a nurse who was stabbed to death in the car park at work at the hospital in Blackpool. And she had been being stalked by her former partner for some time and was eventually murdered at work. So it is very serious, and something that we're hoping will be taken more seriously by employers. And perhaps they can help the victim by steering them to the right agencies, perhaps helping them by changing the hours that they work. So instead of always starting at 9, they can perhaps come in a bit early or a little bit later, or work from a different branch, just to help them not be quite as vulnerable to the stalker.
What do we mean by stalking? I mean, what is a stalker? Who is a stalker? What do we mean by that?
Well, the definition of stalking is basically repeated unwanted contact from one person to another, and that contact would make the victim feel distressed or fearful. It's slightly different from harassment, which is also a criminal offence, because a perpetrator of stalking will be obsessed or fixated on the victim. So we would generally see it as far more dangerous than just harassment.
I mean, I imagine that victims of stalkers can probably suffer in silence before they actually speak to anyone about what's going on. Sometimes is it, you know, not just days, weeks, months, perhaps, perhaps a year or so before they mention it?
Absolutely. On average, it's thought a victim will have suffered over 100 incidents before they even report it to anybody. So that's the message that we want to get across, basically, is please report it. Please keep a diary as well, because whilst the one-off incident of perhaps telephone calls might seem irrelevant, when you put them all together over a period of time, it does show, you know, the catalogue of events can be so damaging to the victim psychologically.
Why are victims, do you think, so reluctant to speak to anyone and tell anyone?
I think there's been an element of victims feeling that it isn't a criminal offence, and in fact it was only made a criminal offence in November 2012, so they would be right in perhaps wondering about that. And also most victims report that they have received a fairly poor response from the police when they go, and that is still an issue that we are seeing today. The highest group of stalking victims are domestic violence related ones, so it's generally going to be, not always, but generally speaking, it will be your ex-partner that's the person stalking you. And as we know, domestic violence isn't always dealt with very well by the police either. Neither is stalking. In fact, stalking's probably dealt with worse.
Well, we'll come back. We'll chat a little bit more to Rachel. We'll also chat to Gary this afternoon. We're chatting to Rachel Horman and Gary Rycroft this afternoon. We're talking, of course, about stalking and Stalking Awareness Day. Each year has a different theme. This year it's Working Without Fear. It sort of concentrates on the workplace. We were talking, Rachel, you know, that victims might be a little bit reluctant to speak out. It can take weeks, years. Is it because, you know, as a victim, you might be worried that you might not be believed?
Yes, I think that's often the case. Perhaps think that it doesn't happen very often, that nobody will believe you, but statistics show that this affects one in five women and one in ten men, so it's far more common than you would think. And the police are getting much better at dealing with it. There is now a criminal offence, so please, I would urge people to report it to the police, and also seek advice from the charities that are there to support, such as Paladin, and see a lawyer.
And also as well, quite interestingly, you say, you know, keep records, keep a diary.
Yeah, it's very important.
What sort of things should we be writing in that diary then?
You need to keep a note of the behaviour. So is it nuisance telephone calls? Is it death threats? Is it somebody waiting outside your place of work? That kind of thing. And it's also very important to record the effect that behaviour is actually having on you. Because the offence of stalking is split into two parts. And there is a more serious offence of stalking if you can show that the effect of that has made you have had a substantial adverse effect on your day-to-day activities. So that might be, I go a different way to work, I've left work, I don't leave the house, that kind of thing. So the effect of the stalking is very important and will make a big difference when it comes to court. If that more serious branch of stalking is used, that can result in up to 5 years imprisonment. So it is quite a serious offence. The other thing that the courts can do as well when these matters are taken to court is not only punish the offender, but also give the victim some protection in making what they call a restraining order, which is like an injunction, saying that that person has to stay away from you in the future, so that whilst the court case has ended, you might be worried about what will happen. That restraining order will keep them away in the future. So that's very important. And of course, that doesn't cost you anything. You would get that injunction through the criminal process. If victims aren't being dealt with properly by the police, I would urge them to seek advice from a solicitor. They can help them liaise with the police and also obtain civil orders, such as a non-molestation order or a civil restraining order from the court to keep the perpetrator away from them and away from their place of work.
I mean, some case studies do make quite disturbing reading, don't they? And I think you've got one or two there with you this afternoon.
Yeah, we mentioned Jane Clough earlier, obviously. Another one is Claire Bunnell. This was from 2005. You may remember she was working at Harvey Nichols in London. She had a very brief relationship with a security guard who worked there. He became obsessed with her, started stalking her, following her home, waiting for her outside work. He was actually arrested by the police and charged with harassment because at that point, stalking was not a criminal offence. Unfortunately, while he was on bail, he came to her place of work and shot her four times, murdering her, and then killed himself. So obviously that was a devastating incident. Another one that people may have heard of. This one's an American one, a victim called Laura Black. There was a film actually made of this. It was so shocking. This victim met her stalker at work. He wanted to start a relationship with her. She refused. He started stalking her, turning up at Keep Fit classes, that kind of thing. Got information from HR about her. Her employer did take it fairly seriously and did actually dismiss him from work, so that was good. She then went to court and obtained a restraining order to keep him away. But 2 years later, that case was unfortunately still going through the court. He turned up the day before the final hearing, armed to the teeth at her place of work. He had a number of weapons on him, including a semi-automatic shotgun, a rifle, a pump-action shotgun, two revolvers, two pistols, a foot-long knife and a smoke bomb. So he really went meaning business there. He ended up killing seven people at her place of work and injuring four. Fortunately for Laura, she wasn't actually murdered. But obviously that was a devastating incident and something that you would never expect would happen from somebody who initially was just sending you a message and actually leaving presents for her on a desk. That's how it started. So things that might sound innocent can turn quite nasty. So it's important to take it seriously, and that's the point of the campaign.
What can people around the victim do to help? I mean, sometimes people are reluctant to get involved, aren't they?
They are. And again, if you look at the statistics, on average, 21 other people will be targeted by the stalker, people around that victim. So it might be that that person is going and speaking to your colleagues at work, your family, your friends, to try and sometimes get information from them about your whereabouts and your routine, sometimes to try and isolate you from those people so that you feel that you have nobody left but the stalker. So it's important to be there. Again, repeat the advice, keep a diary. It's so important. And to log everything with the police, even if you think it's fairly innocent, speak to the police. There's no harm. They will then keep a record of it as well. And again, go and speak to the charities Paladin, National Stalking Advocacy Service, and the National Stalking Helpline. They're there to give expert advice to you.
Well, we'll come back, we'll chat some more, we'll chat to Gary as well about...